God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I don't know how many of you like to go to Chinese restaurants, but it seems like, at least here in the United States, one of the traditions of going to a Chinese restaurant is, you know, that dessert, that fortune cookie. It's always kind of interesting to open up that fortune cookie to see what kind of special message is inside. Now, I will admit, when I also go to Chinese restaurants, I also like that little fortune cookie type message. It's usually something positive, something upbeat, and you look at the message and you read it and you go, that's nice, and you might take it home, you might not. But I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily think of that fortune for very long. However, there are some people that are trying to take God's word and almost make it into sort of like a new type of word, similar to that of almost like that fortune cookie type message. Another way of sort of describing this is sort of like the American sound bite, you know, so you can sort of remember just maybe one quick sentence. And if we were going to take the Bible and make it into a fortune cookie or a sound bite type Bible, it'd probably sound something like this. I'm a sinner. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. You believe and trust in him, you have eternal life. Or some other positive type things. Now, there's nothing wrong with these positive aspects of God's word. But there's a lot more to God's word than just knowing who Jesus is and what he has done. In one essence, you can sort of say this is a little bit of a one level, but now there's a deeper level of picking up God's word. And more importantly, a deeper level of God's grace being bestowed upon us. Maybe thinking of it this way. Someone says, let me give you $100 as a free gift. And you're sitting there going, that's okay, I'd only rather have 10 cents. That may sound kind of strange. Why would someone want to refuse the rest of the money and only want a little bit? Maybe they're only happy with a little bit. This sometimes works with little kids. You know, they like the shiny new pennies. But then when they finally learn about what the value of the dollar bills, they're no longer satisfied with the pennies. In one essence, that's the type of Christian that I hope and pray that all of you are. You're no longer satisfied with the pennies. Where's the real meat, the real grace? In our text for today from our gospel reading, we're going to see that little bit of that transition here with two types of characters. First of all, we have Jesus sending his disciples into the boat so he can go up to the mountain and he's going to do what? He's going to pray. I want you to, first of all, remember prayer. Prayer is a very important aspect of the Christian life. Even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ takes his time from his mission, his ministry, to do what? To rest and to pray. The omnipotent, the all-knowing, the true God, true man, Jesus Christ, is taking that formal time to pray. And if he needs to take that time to pray, we also need to take that time to pray. Let me continue moving on in our text. The disciples are sent ahead of Jesus. Jesus, after his time alone, now is going to somewhat catch up to those disciples. And of course, the way he's going to do it is he's going to walk on the water. And please notice the disciples' reaction here. They were not expecting Jesus to come meet him via walking on water. But should they have been surprised? Right before our text, we heard last week on how Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and a couple fish and fed more than 5,000 people. Did not the disciples truly realize this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with all these fantastic miracles going on? Apparently not. Because they cried out in fear. They thought they saw a ghost. And picking up the end of Mark's words here, and for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When we get to that word hardening of the hearts, I don't know about you, but my mind quickly flips to Pharaoh, someone who just ultimately rejected God and his grace, who wanted nothing to do with God and his grace. And there is a certain aspect of hardening there. But the disciples aren't in that boat, pardon the pun. They're in a different category. They are with Jesus. They are slowly understanding, but they haven't quite gotten it yet, at least not until the time of Pentecost. But Scripture now describes this as sort of a hardening of the heart. We need to compare and contrast those disciples for a moment with the crowds. What happens when Jesus gets to the other side of the lake? The crowds immediately recognize him, and they do what? Bring the sick. So much that they don't even need Jesus to touch him. Mark brings this up and it says they just need to touch the fringe of Jesus' garments. Talk about faith. Talk about trust. So we have to ask, in this relationship here, who is looking for the dime? Who's looking for the $100 here? Who's the one who just wants the soundbite Christianity? And who's the one that wants all of God's grace? It seems to me that the disciples here just were not quite getting it. They sort of had a small version of who Jesus is. Yeah, Jesus can do a few miracles here and there. They've seen him heal the sick. But is he really God? The winds and the waves obey him. He can walk on water. He can heal the sick. Eventually, he will rise from the dead. The people understood. They were coming to him with their sick. Did it make sense? No, but they knew God's grace. For us in our lives today, we have to ask ourselves, what type of theology are we really looking for? Are we looking for a soundbite type theology? You know, some quick little phrase to sort of pacify us for 10 minutes, or maybe just for an hour out of a week of 168 hours? Or are we looking for something more? What type of God do you have in the back of your mind? I know a type of God that who presents himself in scriptures is all about. A God that says, oh, by the way, I am there for you each and every day. Sounds like a soundbite. How about one that you can rely on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Sounds like another soundbite. Then how about this one? How about one who comes to us with that simple bread and wine? That bread and wine is more than bread and wine. It is the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only for the strengthening of our faith, but as Martin Luther says in the Large Catechism, that where the soul is healed, the body is also helped. Are you able to get your grips around that one? That one's not going to fit on some sort of fortune cookie. But that is God's grace in action. It's more than just words. He gives of himself, his body and blood, more than just his death and resurrection from the cross and from the empty tomb, but now gives of himself living for you, to strengthen you, to fill you, to heal you. Can your faith comprehend that? Or are we back in the boat with the disciples, thinking, just where is my soundbite type theology? The crowds got it. And why did the crowds get it where the disciples, the ones who were following Jesus, didn't get it? Well, part of it is based on need. What kind of God and Savior do you really need? Do you just need a little Savior? Or do you need a lot of Savior? Do you need God's grace to completely flood you? Or do you just want a little sprinkling here and there? Very often, please notice who's in control of this. It is God who is outpouring his Spirit and grace upon you. Are you the one who is putting up the umbrella and putting out your hand going, yeah, it's raining a little bit, but that's okay, I'm nice and dry. Or are you the one that says, I need it all. I need all of God's grace, not just a little bit, but all for each and every day of my life. So out of the 160 some hours a week you have, how many of those hours and how many of those minutes are you wanting to be connected to the one who gives of himself? How many hours and how many minutes do you want to be receiving of God's grace? Because God's grace is here in His Word. It's here at that altar. It's there at that baptismal font. Now, to be fair, you're only baptized once. But when we come and we gather, when we kneel before the altar of our Lord to receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do we think of it as just some sort of ritual we do? Or do we realize that there's a miracle going on here? A miracle for you, with power, with action, that brings healing. The disciples struggled with this. But don't worry. Christian history and Scripture brings it about that once the Holy Spirit came upon them, then they understood. The title of this message is The Heart Melted by Water. The hardness of our hearts is melted by the water of holy baptism, because for us, that's when the Holy Spirit typically comes into our lives. That's the time in which God does melt our hard heart so that we can see His grace, so that we will want and desire His grace. This comes by God's doing. Unfortunately, after the water has melted our hardened heart, we can step out of that water, so to speak, step out of that baptismal grace and allow our heart to be hardened again. I hope and pray this doesn't happen, because we have a God who constantly showers us with His grace, constantly giving of Himself. The crowds sought. They just wanted just to touch the edge of His garment. The disciples at this point of Holy Scriptures didn't quite get it. So I have to ask you, what type of God do you want? One that fits inside a fortune cookie? One that's in a 2-second soundbite? Or one that's radically going to change your life, give you grace, and fill you with His Spirit? I hope and pray that when God and God does offer His grace, we sit there and say, Lord, I want it all. Because we have a Savior who gives it all. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.